VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Can you imagine a world where everyone knows they can make a difference? What if controversy is your ticket to success and new possibilities, to being a leader in creating a different reality? Do you have the courage to create something greater than has ever existed before? This is The Value of Controversy, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Join us now for the tools, techniques, and awareness you need to create a world that you would be grateful to live in. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, how's everyone doing today? Welcome to The Value of Controversy. I'm your host today, Ricky Williams, and I'll be joined by Susanna Mittermeier and Tamara Yonker. How are you guys doing today?
Great, Ricky. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Ricky.
Hey. So today's topic is finding your life's purpose. So, you know, for me, this topic really, really hits home. I spent a large majority of my life actually looking for my life's purpose. And I looked so hard that I ended up in a yoga ashram in India, and I learned how to say life's purpose in Sanskrit. And the word was Dharma. And so I spent another 2 years intensely looking, trying to find my Dharma or my life's purpose.
Yeah, I have a similar type of story, Ricky. I didn't give a single thought to life's purpose for many, many years. It wasn't until I quit my corporate job in 1999 and started really making some major shifts in my life. And I got introduced to the metaphysical world, and I started studying a lot of metaphysical stuff and was introduced at that time to this idea of having a life's purpose. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I better figure out what mine is then. And I literally spent several years, probably as many as 5 years, trying to figure out what my life's purpose was. And I remember literally being in my home, like on my hands and knees on the floor, crying and begging like the universe, God, whoever was listening, to tell me what my life's purpose was, because I felt like if I didn't know what that was, and I couldn't fulfill it. And there was so much, I didn't know it then, because I was making it so significant. This whole idea of having a life's purpose was so incredibly significant. I was so miserable. I was so at the effect of this idea that I must discover what my life's purpose was. It was making me miserable, and I realized now, you know, fast forward a decade or more, and I realized that part of why I was so miserable, because I was in such judgment of myself, because I didn't know what my life's purpose was, and I felt like I couldn't figure it out, and I felt like unless I was able to discover what that purpose was and then live it, that I wasn't earning my keep, so to speak. I wasn't earning my place. I wasn't earning my worth here to be on the planet. Like, it wasn't enough just to be here and to be contributing in the world in a way that was joyful and fun for me. I actually had to discover what this purpose was, and it was so heavy for me. It felt like I was walking around for years with this lead weight. Not so fun.
Yeah, I really can recognize that so much. And it's like the place where people are kind of looking for an answer. So for me, it was like years ago when I was having a really low period in my life. I was depressed, and I, you know, I was basically looking for an answer, and looking for, hey, so what's my thing? What's my answer? So I remember I was looking for the answer, and I went to, I think it's called a medium, a person who tells you the future. And I just wanted her to tell me what my purpose was. And so I asked her, and she said, you know, I was like, you know, there must be something really profound and significant, you know, that my life purpose is and that I should fulfill while I'm on this earth, you know, something like, hey, you know, save the world, Susanna, that is your mission. And then she looks at me and she says, well, you know, Susanna, it seems like you have been having a lot of lifetimes before this one, you where you've been suffering and you have had a hard time and you've been creating a lot. You know, it seems like this lifetime, it's your time to have fun and enjoy your life. And I was like, no, that can't be it. You know, are you kidding me? You know, my life is way more profound and significant than just having fun.
You know, it's really interesting. I find whenever I'm giving a class or I'm doing a call, that days previous to the call, you know, I'll have conversations or I'll be exposed to different people or different ideas that have a lot to do with the talk. And so last week when we decided to do this show on finding your life's purpose, you know, this whole past week I've been meeting people and somehow the conversation ends up talking about purpose. And so yesterday I had two such conversations. And the first conversation was in Tampa and I was shooting a television show, and one of the guys that was on the television show, we were both in the makeup room getting our makeup done for TV, and he starts talking to me about the night before he had went to church and the sermon was on finding your life's purpose. And he was talking about how the problem with kids nowadays is that kids don't have a purpose. And if they don't have a purpose, then there's no meaning to their life. And when he said this, you know, I looked at him and I just said, really? And it was very interesting to me that he came to these conclusions. The first conclusion being that the problem with people is that they don't have a purpose. And the second being that if you don't have a purpose, then there's no meaning to your life. And the third one, which was kind of hidden, was that there has to be meaning to life before it has any value.
Yeah, exactly. So that is exactly what you know, my thing was when I was looking for an answer, because it makes you kind of valuable in this reality. It gives you the answer that you've been looking for. This is your role in this reality. This is who you're supposed to be here. And if you don't have that significant, profound role and answer, then you're nobody, or you don't know who you are. You have nothing to hold on to.
Yeah. So is that true?
Exactly. That is the question.
And what came up later in the day yesterday, I was in the airport flying back to Austin, and it's just what you said, Susanna. It's like the people, what I find is the things that people consider their purposes and the things that people hold on to, it starts to create this place in their life where they have to be in a constant state of judgment as
yeah.
to whether they're finding or they're meeting their purpose or they aren't. And what it
exactly.
seems to create is like the roller coaster that we experience in our lives. And what it creates
yeah.
even on top of that is the place where we feel we have to defend the roller coaster, the place where
yeah,
we have to defend the rightness of the ups and downs of life, because
yeah.
that's our purpose.
Yeah, so first we create a purpose, and then we have to defend it to keep it in place. And I wonder, hey, how much choice is that actually leaving? How much freedom of creating something that you truly desire is actually possible with it?
Yeah.
You know, it's more like a noose around the neck.
Yeah, but that's what it seems like. I mean, this lady that I was talking to last night in the airport, and we started talking, and the first thing that she really started to share was how miserable her life was because her son was in prison. And so she goes on for about a half an hour about how miserable, you know, her son has made her life. And then the conversation shifted to me, and we started talking about children and kids. And she goes on to say basically that her purpose in life was, and the greatest joy in her life was having kids. And I thought it was so interesting that she spent a half an hour saying how miserable her kid was making her life, and then the next half an hour saying how it was the greatest joy that she could ever experience. And she was trying to convince me to keep having children. And I kind of looked at it, and I started to laugh, because it's interesting, and I started to see places in my life where when I did the same thing, and what I saw, it's like whatever we decide is significant or is meaningful or has purpose in our life, it kind of takes us out of choice, because we totally. Make that greater than choice.
It completely takes us out of choice, and I think one of the biggest questions that's a trap that is so prevalent out there in a lot of arenas, and most especially in the metaphysical arena, is what's the meaning of life? It's like it's a conclusion, really. It's not so much of a question, because it's concluding that there is a meaning to life, and since there is a meaning to life, you better figure out what it is, and then you better figure out what is your meaning with regard to that greater meaning? And it does keep you in that space of incessant, judgment of yourself, because it's like, how many ways can I judge myself if I don't know what the meaning of life is and what my specific meaning or purpose is in life?
Yeah. It's kind of like, what are the things called in English where when you drown underwater and you hold on to them, the life...
Life preserver?
The thing that's round and you hold on to it.
Yeah,
it's kind of, when you talked about it, I just got this picture of, you hold on to that to not drown, to make sure you survive, because it's kind of like you got to make sure that you're real somehow. This is the energy kind of that comes up when we talk about purpose. You got to make sure that you're real in this reality and that you are somebody, because if you don't have a meaning, then who are you? And that is
I was just going to say, and the irony of that is what I discovered, a decade ago when I was obsessed with discovering my purpose, was realizing that it was really a more of a lead weight than it was a life preserver. It dragged me down because I was making it so significant, and I was making the judgment of me because I didn't know it. I was making me miserable, and it was really not until I came to access that I probably became really free of this idea of discovering your purpose, and that was when I was introduced to the difference between purpose and priority. And what if, rather than seeking out to discover what my purpose was, I, as you introduced, operated from a space of choice, and made the things that were fun for me, the things that I was interested in, the things that I wanted to create in my life. What if I use choice to make those a priority in my life rather than be a purpose? And that's when the noose around my neck and the heaviness of purpose finally dissipated. And purpose, I realized, kind of locked me into something. It was sort of like making a lifelong decision and then having to continually judge myself whether or not I was upholding that purpose. And when I shifted to priority, it really allowed me so much more choice, and I could make it a target. If this is what I want to create in my life right now as my priority, awesome. And I can change that whenever I choose in 10-second increments. One of the fabulous tools of access is being able to choose and create in 10-second increments. And that made such a difference. It really was all about choice.
Yeah, exactly. So, an example there is like when I decided what I should do as a profession, I, after that, became aware that my purpose was always to making people happy. And it would always create this hard work in my life. And then I chose the profession to become a psychologist, go figure. And it was always my purpose to make sure people are happy. And I did this in my family, I did this in my job, and it just didn't leave me any space. It always created this contraction of where I had to succeed at making people happy. And if I didn't make people happy, then I have failed. So it just left me at this constant place of judging me and just not really a choice of, hey, what would I like to create in the world? Because there was always a knowing that, the target that you talk about, Tamara, and the priority of, hey, it could be to touch, to expand my whole life and to expand people's life I come into contact with. Yet I tried to make that target into something that's more valid, valuable or credible in this reality, something that's more real. So where it has to have a name, you know, like, you know, yeah, saving people's life or making them happy. And where that is more real. And I realized what that was doing to me and how it just took away all the fun and all the joy in my, you know, work as a psychologist, for example, and how it just didn't leave me any choice. And I remembered how tired I was at the end of the work days and on the weekends, and it just didn't work anymore. And it's, you know, and with the access tools, as you say, when I realized, hey, I just made my purpose to save people's lives and to make them happy. Wow. And I just judged myself daily for not succeeding and not doing it good enough. And when I realized that, I'm like, wow, I could change that purpose to a priority where I could actually choose to be happy myself and inspire people by choosing this for me. It just really changed so much for me, you know, in my work and also personally and in my family. It's just totally way easier.
Yeah, and so to tie this together and to help clarify for our listeners, there's actually a difference between purpose and priority, all right? Mm. So purpose is what we use to create achievement and accomplishment, right? And what's interesting about this is a lot of times when we start something, it starts as a priority, right? And so an example from my life is when I was a kid, I noticed that the way things worked around me, they didn't usually work for me. And so I had this priority that I wanted to function in a way where I didn't have to be the effect of what other people were choosing, right? And it was a priority. So the way I look at priority, a priority is something you would choose before you would choose anything else or before you would choose something else. And so when I functioned with this as a target or a priority, my life started to expand. And it was almost like my life got to a place where I wasn't willing to expand anymore. And I kind of mutilated and twisted my priority into a purpose. And it showed up more as the necessity for freedom, which created for me like a rebellious streak in this place where I just had to be free. And so I went into this place of always judging whether I was free or not. And it what really locked me in because I had to keep seeing who was trying to quote unquote oppress me or keep me down. So I knew who I had to be free from. And it took me completely out of the priority of not being the effect of what other people were choosing. And it actually created the opposite.
Yeah. When you say that, I kind of get the picture of a GPS, you know, something that kind of, you know, it shows you a direction, but you can always change the direction. And you know, there's not a conclusion in a way, you know, go this way and then you have to continue this way, you know, like whatever the purpose is for you. A priority is more like, okay, you know, go this way and then you can change it again. It just shows you the way and you can, you know, it's just this 10 seconds choice that Tamara talks about before.
Yeah, the thing about purpose is purpose requires judgment, whereas priority is what we can use to create possibilities. Like when you're functioning from priority, you'll keep this space open to allow yourself to perceive what's going to contribute to your priority. But purpose, it's like you have to shut down what you're aware of and only stay focused, right? So you take this capacity to be aware of everything and you narrow it to a focus of what you've decided is going to give you what you've decided is going to give you what you've decided is the life that you'd like to have. So we have different people contributing to us on this call, and I'd like to invite Anne Maxwell to share a little bit about life's purpose. Anne?
Hi, this is an awesome call, and it's just, hi, you guys.
Hi.
Thanks for inviting me in. Yeah, this is just an awesome call. And I was, a little while ago when you were talking about purpose and talking about kids, I wanted to share a story from a family that I was working with. It was a mom and her husband had three children of their own, and they had adopted the dad's half-sister, and there was a 28 or 30 year difference in age between the half-brother and half-sister, who at this point were now dad and daughter, and that the father of these two had been a drug addict and an alcoholic, and social services became involved in this little girl's life when she was 2 years old, and they were living on the streets of some city in California, and he died, and they located her half-brother, who is the husband of this woman. And this woman said, she's a lovely lady, and she said, you know, she was feral. It's like she was wild. And I decided that it was my purpose to fix her. And so she came to see me because this now 8-year-old was wild and out of control and acting out at school and acting out at home. And she said to me, I don't even really like her very much, and I feel really bad about that. And so I asked her some questions, and one of them was, what if she actually chose you and her dad, her half-brother, her dad, to be her parents, but she couldn't get born to you? So what if she actually had to figure out a way to get to you? And it was a pretty, you know, it was a pretty rough way to get there. But what if that was her target, was to be raised by you, to have you as her mom? What if she really wanted you to be her mom? And I'm really condensing a much longer story, but this lady came back to me a week later, and she was in tears, and she said, oh, my God, I never realized how hard she had to fight in order to get to me. And she said, our relationship has completely changed. She wants to cuddle with me, and I want to cuddle with her, and she sits in my lap now. And she said her behaviors at school have completely changed and at home. And she said it's like night and day. It's like we're occupying a space that wasn't possible before. And I just, this whole conversation about purpose and priority, I just think about beyond us, the degree to which the purposes that we have affect our kids, and the degree to which we were affected by the purposes that our parents had. I mean, it's like amazing.
Mm.
And just to be able to view it from this different space of priority, it's like, oh, okay, so then you can ask the question, okay, what could I, what would you like, right? What kind of change would you like, right? Not how do you need to be fixed.
Yeah, and also, like, what else is possible is what comes up.
Right, exactly.
I hear your story.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Anne. And
thank you.
We're going to go into our first break. So thank you all for listening, and we will be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here. Have you felt different your whole life? A dreamer? A seeker? An outsider? Always wrong no matter how hard you try? What if there's a completely different way of functioning in this reality? What if you, truly being you, could change everything and the world? If you'd like to find out, go to beingyouclass.com. 12 years ago, I was on the verge of suicide, and I came into contact with some amazing tools that changed everything for me. Today, I live a life I couldn't even imagine possible at that time. I have the honor of traveling around the world facilitating thousands of people on how to change their lives with these very tools. I'd like to share some of them with you. Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for my free video series, My Gift to You. What if the tools to change everything are available now? In February, you can join me for a 3.5-day intensive class in Hawaii. Are you ready to explore these tools in this energy live? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com. You know if this is for you. You always do.
Do you realize that happiness is just a choice? Or have you been, you know, told, you know, have you been trained to the idea that unhappiness is something you have to deal with and happiness is something you have to get rid of? How does that occur? Well, when you're sad and unhappy, people go, oh, what's wrong, sweetheart? And when you're happy and you're having a good time, they go, what drag are you in? So why is happiness a wrongness and why is unhappiness a rightness? And if you really want to know, check out our website, happinessisjustachoice.com. We'll give you more information.
Join Gary and Dr. Dane in Denver, Colorado, January 12th and 13th for the two-day Happiness is Just a Choice class. Attend in person or stream it live. Go to happinessisjustachoice.com for more information or to register. Isn't it time to be happy?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel, voiceamericaempowerment.com.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Welcome back. I'm Ricky Williams, your host today, alongside Susanna Mittermeier and Tamara Yonker. And today we're talking about finding your life's purpose. We used a little trickery here because a lot of people have made finding their life's purpose their life's purpose. And what we're offering you is a different possibility. So one of the tools, and probably one of my favorite tools in Access Consciousness, is the processes, which are questions that are designed to bring up certain limiting energies in our lives, and also the clearing statement, which assists us in clearing these blockages or these limitations that we've bought throughout our lives. And I would like to start this next segment with the process. And so we've spent the first 20 minutes of the show talking and sharing stories about purpose and offering a different possibility as far as priority goes. And so The question that I have is, how many purposes do you have to make sure that you are the failure you've decided you are? Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, and so everything that is times a godzillion, we destroy and uncreate it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. Okay, so
that processing is so cool because when we talked before, I was like, wow, how many purposes, you can put words to some of them. You're like, oh, okay, my purpose might be to make people happy or to, save the world or blah, blah, blah. And then there's so many of those purposes that are not cognitive. You're like, it's not that you can put words to them, but they're there and they're kind of taking charge of your life, where it takes you out of the possibility of, where you perceive that you have choice. So this is a really cool thing to use the processing to clear all those layers and everything else that, that's this non-cognitive place.
Yeah. So a little bit more about the processing. So the processes, most of them are designed in the form of a question, right? And so when we run the process or ask the question, energies will start to come to the surface, and they're not always going to be cognitive. Sometimes they will. Sometimes there'll be sensations, there'll be feelings, there'll be emotions, and sometimes they will be thoughts. And then what we do, the funny stuff that I said afterwards, the right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond, is what we call the clearing statement. And what this does, it directs the energy, right? So the energy comes up of the limitation, and what we're doing is we're directing the energy to all the places and all the ways we've locked these limitations into our lives. Do you guys want to talk any more about the clearing statement or the process?
No, it's just really cool, the thing you're mentioning about the non-cognitive place, because I just, you know, like the work that I do usually with clients and patients, people always think that everything is, you know, something you can talk about or something that's, you know, tangible with words or with feelings or emotions or thoughts, but there's so much else that you know, what's it called, takes charge of our lives, and this is such a great way of getting there and clearing all that. It's like a big vacuum cleaner that just gets all that stuff out of your way.
Yeah, what's interesting is, you know, and most developmental psychologists will tell you that a lot of our programming is in place by the time that we're, I think, 6 or 7 years old. And at 6 or 7, you know, we're not as cognitively developed as we are as teenagers and even as adults. And so a lot of the ways that we picked up things and we've locked ourselves up is kind of pre-cognitive maturity. So a lot of the things that keep us stuck in places where we can't seem to get out of, or we can't seem to get free from, are not always going to be cognitive.
Yeah. I like to ask people the question, you know, most of the time it's our absolute best thinking that got us to the place that we are when we're feeling really stuck, like we don't know what to do to change the situation that we've created. It's our best thinking that usually got us there. So if it's your best thinking that got you to the place where you're stuck, thinking harder isn't necessarily going to get you unstuck. And that really helps people to kind of understand, have a sense of, it's not the thinking that oftentimes is going to be the thing that sets us free. There's something else there beneath the surface, if you will. And science tells us that everything is energy. So using the clearing statement really allows us to address the energy. It's like applying the consciousness that you be to the vice grip of the energy, you know, that you've sort of been functioning from, that you don't realize that you're functioning from, because it is beneath that level of, you know, cognitive thinking. And when I use the clearing statement with my clients, it's fascinating how their lives will shift in such an effortless way that they, I mean, it's like the magic wand. This clearing statement is like the magic wand. It begins to dissolve and undo, unlock all of that energy that people aren't aware of that keeps them in the same rut, doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result, when what they'd really like to do is create something entirely different.
Yeah, and it also asks you, would you like to destroy and uncreate it? So it asks you if you choose to let it go, to destroy and uncreate it. And the cool thing is it really addresses where, you know, who created that limitation? Well, you did. You know, everybody creates their own limitations, and that's actually really good news, because if you created it, you can uncreate it. You got the key. So it's
great
really
news.
Good.
And also, when you ask these questions or you run these processes, it's not important to have all the details of the limitation. You know, it's like when you go to the bathroom, you know, do you sit and do you inspect your feces? Do you look at the corn and the tomatoes and the seeds?
Or do you
just flush it, right?
Let's just flush it.
It's like people think that they, you know, have to understand everything and look at every corn to get to the bottom of things. It's like, no, it just stinks, you know, just, you know, flush it, like you say.
Yeah. And I love Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness. It must have been in a class I took once upon a time. He talked about purpose in a way that really allowed me to get it at a deeper level. He said that everything you think is judgeable in about you is something that you've made a purpose. And it really got me to understand that I'm not a judgeable offense. There's actually nothing about me that's worth judging. And everywhere I was judging myself, I had created that as a purpose. And here's another way of looking at it. It's like we're it's not generally acceptable to just be you on the planet. There's kind of this implicit understanding that people have that you have to do something to earn your right to be here. And it's not something that people talk about. It's almost like just it's an unsaid, unspoken understanding. So we're always out there trying to do, to prove that we be something. And just a simple example is like how many people, how many parents out there are trying to do a whole slew of things to prove that they're good parents? Or how many women are doing things to prove that they're good wives? Or men are doing things to prove that they're good husbands? Or, and this is all in a way related to purpose. Everywhere we're trying to, we have some sort of list that we evaluate ourselves based on, you know, a good friend does this and this and this and this and this, and if I don't do all of those things, oh my gosh, then I get to judge myself that I'm not a good friend. It's where you've made, like, being a good friend, being a good wife, being a good mother, being a good employee, being a good boss, a purpose.
Yeah.
And then that underlying purpose gives you, you know, it gives us another place to judge ourselves continually and constantly. And when it was really presented to me in that way, I got judge a purpose at such a deeper level. It was like we all have this kind of utopian ideal of what friend or mom or dad or employee or employer or whatever role you want to talk about. It's like we have this utopian ideal that we've accumulated or absorbed in our lifetimes about what that should look like. And then we're constantly comparing ourselves to see, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I doing the right things to prove that I'm a good parent, wife, mother, employee? And everywhere we do that in our life, it's a locked-in purpose that we're not aware of, and we continually judge ourselves when we, quote-unquote, fail.
And what's interesting about this is, you know, to be a good mother or to be a good football player, or all these things that we have these purposes to be good at, it's like we have to first decide that we're bad at it,
yeah.
And we have to create purposes to defend against being the failure we've already decided we are.
Exactly.
So how many purposes do you have to make sure you are the failure you've already decided you are? Everything that is, times a godzillion, we destroy and uncreate it all.
Yeah.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond.
And the great thing of it all, it never includes you. You know, people are not included in their whole lives.
Yeah, because that's everything we've been talking about is how I can prove myself to be good enough for somebody else.
Mm.
It's not about, you know, I you know, we post this talk on Facebook, this particular topic on Facebook, and somebody responded, you know, to our topic, which is finding your life's purpose, and they said, well, isn't the purpose of life to just enjoy yourself? And what if people were really able to give themselves to choose for themselves to the degree that they actually would allow that to be so? I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of a bold, controversial move to say, look, my purpose of life, my purpose for being here is just to enjoy myself, to have fun, to choose for me, to explore, and to see what I'd like to create in my life through choice.
And that is also the place and the space where you are included and where you can be and receive the contribution that's truly possible. So I really recognize that, you know, from the work that I do where, for me it was always really important to prove how smart I am and that I have the answers and that I'm the expert, because that is something that you're supposed to do as a psychologist. You got to have the answer. You got to know, you know, what, you know, whatever the great thing to do is for the patient. And it always left me this place where I have to prove how, you know, that I know, well, cognitively. And you know, every time I allow myself to not be smart and actually allow myself to be stupid, it's so relaxing. And just, for example, start our sessions with, hey, how useless can I be here? It's a totally different space to function from, where it actually allows me to just relax. It relaxes the patient and the client, and it allows also to receive the contribution of what we know, what the client knows, and what I know to actually be received. It's just totally incredible.
Cool. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. So I'd now like to invite another one of our contributors, Marilyn Bradford, to share with us now.
Hey, this is a great show, and you've brought up so many amazing things about purpose and priority. And when you were doing that clearing, Ricky, about the purpose and the failure, I thought about how even when you, for me, what I did was purpose, was that I created this purpose, even after I got to Access and knew better, that I was bringing this, right, recovery, this different way of dealing with addiction to the world. And I didn't even realize I was doing it as a purpose. But I found after a while, two things happened, or I created two things. One was I would get up in the morning and I would go, oh, what do I have to do? Like, that's not a very good energy. But whenever we make a purpose, we make it bigger than us. It was, as you mentioned, I didn't have any choice. And then the other one was whenever anybody didn't choose it, I had to judge myself as a failure. So that if my purpose was to bring this different way of looking at addiction to the world, every time someone said, oh, I don't think so, I'm like, oh, I'm a failure. I didn't do it enough. I didn't do it hard enough. And finally, when I got the idea of priority, it was like, oh, now I can relax and have fun. And, you know, you were talking about with the clearing statement, and Susanna, you were talking in your practice about the energy and everything is energy. What I've also realized with purpose is if you're doing purpose, you cannot follow the energy.
Yeah.
And you're going to end up butting heads with reality in an unnecessary way. At least I certainly have. And the cool thing now is I just get up and I go, hey, what are my priorities today? And they kind of pop out there. And it's like, oh, this sounds like fun, and this sounds like fun. And I've realized the difference in the energy. Priorities are always, if not totally fun, they're at least enjoyable. Even if I know this is the day to do errands or this or that, I can like, oh, okay. Just because of following the energy, they're going to be expansive.
Yeah, there's room for choice when you ask that question.
Yeah, exactly.
A tool that I've been playing with, you know, that's along these lines of priority, and please, you know, listeners, use this if you like, is if I could choose anything right now, what would I choose?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like going to a candy store where you can have everything, and you don't have to come to a conclusion with which yummy candy you would like to take. You can just, hey, which would I like to taste first? Which would I like to start with?
So, how many purposes do you have to make sure you are the failure you've already decided you are? Everything that is, times a godzillion, we destroy and uncreate it all.
Yeah.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. So, now it's time to take our second break, and we will return shortly. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be right back.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Welcome back to The Value of Controversy, Finding Your Life's Purpose. I'm your host, Ricky Williams, alongside Susanna Mittermeier and Tamara Yonker. Welcome back. So, we'll start running the process even more. So, how many purposes do you have to make sure you are the failure you've already decided you are? Everything that is times the godzillion we destroyed and created all.
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, short, boys, and beyond. And a question I have for you is, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you choose?
That is so cool. When you say that, I just realize how much people are using judgment, you know, being a judgment, being a failure, that judgment as a way of creating, to making sure that they're doing the right thing, that they're succeeding and winning and making sure they're not losing, which is totally twisted, actually. So, like you said, with the show and having the show come up, like, I became aware of, like, the past days, how much failure energy and how much judgment was coming up in my world. And I wondered, like, so if I wouldn't be a failure, who would I be?
Well, it's interesting, too, I think, that there's a lot of people who use fear of failure as their reason for not choosing something. They say, you know, it stops them dead in their tracks.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing that I ask a lot is it actually fear that, you know, fear of failure, or is it actually where you're unwilling to put yourself in a position where you might receive judgment from yourself? Mm-hmm. Or you might receive judgment from others. So sometimes this fear that people use as their reason for that stops them, it's really perhaps a misidentified attempt to avoid judgment. We use judgment so prevalently to create and also to destroy. You know, we judgment motivates us and judgment also stops us. So if you didn't have to avoid potentially judging yourself in the future or have to defend against other people's judgments of you, would you actually choose a lot more? Or
yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That is so cool, because when you said that, I'm just like, so if you're a failure, you're at least somebody. And if you're not a failure, what would you create? What, you know, who would you, like, really, who would you be? Like, you know, when you have, like, you know, people say, like, people have rather a bad relationship than no relationship at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, you gotta, at least you're somebody, at least you have some kind of identity if you're a failure, instead of just, you know, being the question of, wow, who am I and what's actually possible?
Yeah, and it's something that we talk a lot about in Access, especially in classes, and we talk about how in our lives, it's like the only time we've ever been right is being right that we're wrong. And it's, mm-hmm. and it's very similar to what you're saying, Susanna, is like we all want to be right, but the only time we allow ourselves to be right is that the only thing that we know for sure is all the times that we failed or how wrong we are.
It's like having a black belt in being wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
And everything that's bringing up. Yeah. Would you like to destroy and create all that times a godzillion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. Because I can almost sense people going, oh my God, I do that.
Yes.
Like, we get so caught up in this trap of having this idea of ourselves as only right when we're wrong.
Mm. And people listening, hey guys, you can use this clearing statement on yourself, you know, after this show. You can just, you know, listen to the recording of the show, run the clearing statement on yourself, just replacing it with I instead of you, and just run the pot and pock. And if you want to know exactly what the words stand for, it's the pages, theclearingstatement.com. If you go to that page, you will find an explanation of every word in that clearing statement. If you want to know more, but you don't need to understand it for it to work.
That's my favorite part, that I don't need to understand it for it to work. I was just using it this morning, as a matter of fact. I woke up this morning and there was a heaviness. And one of the questions I often start with whenever I notice any kind of heaviness is, who does that belong to? And if that doesn't really shift the heaviness completely, then I start exploring, well, what is that? What is that energy? Whether I have sometimes an awareness pops up right away, and I'll have, you know, I'll be able to put words to that energy. And sometimes it's just an energy. And even if I don't know what that energy is, even if I ask questions and I don't get a cognitive awareness of it, I can just simply say, okay, everything that is and everything I'm doing to hold that energy in place or lock it in or be at the effect of it, I just destroy it and create it all. And run the clearing statement, right, wrong, good, and bad, pot and puck, all nine shorts, boys, beyond. Or just
and all it leaves. And all it leaves is choice.
Yeah. Yes.
And one of the things that's become very obvious, you know, for me lately, is that this energy of purpose is so pervasive in our lives. And I don't think, I mean, for me, I didn't realize how pervasive it was until I started, you know, asking more questions around it. And it's almost like any place that I find myself judging myself, or any place we find ourselves judging ourselves, we find our place stuck, chances are there's a purpose there that's keeping us stuck. So a tool that I'd like to share with you guys is, anytime you get stuck or things aren't moving or things aren't showing up the way you know they could and the way they should, you can ask, how many purposes do I have creating blank? Creating this limitation or creating where I'm stuck here, yeah? And you can then ask, what priorities could I have here?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, this will start to allow you to shift, to change the energy of purpose that's keeping you stuck, shifting it to the awareness of what your priorities could be there, which will open up the space of choice and will allow you to get unstuck.
One of the things that I noticed that was quite interesting after discovering more about how purpose locks us up is that we'll actually use our purpose as our reason and our justification for continuing to the onslaught of judgment upon ourselves. It's like this, we go in a circle. The judgment is what creates the purpose, and the purpose continues to maintain the judgment, and we keep going in this continual cycle of judging ourselves. And one of the things that was such a gift and shifted my life completely was to recognize how much judgment is not kind. And everywhere I was judging myself, I was actually perpetuating this unkindness in my world. Because I learned judgment. I just didn't show up on the planet and start judging myself. I learned that from my caretakers. I learned that, you know, through growing up when I was younger. And so I didn't know any different. I just continued to judge myself because that's what I learned and that's what I looked around and saw that the world did. I was like, okay, well, I'm getting it right if I judge myself. And it wasn't until Access where I learned maybe this continual onslaught of judgment upon myself is not actually a kindness to me. And what if I chose to stop?
That's
and
so true. Yeah.
It made such a difference in my world when I literally stopped the onslaught of judgment and started implementing the kindness that I truly be, that was there long before I ever learned how to judge myself,
yeah,
really began to shift things in a dynamic way.
And when you say that, it's like really the kindness of allowing yourself to create your life, where it's like an ongoing creation, where priority is really this possibility where you can change your priority in any, you know, moment, in every 10 seconds if you would like to, where it's never going to conclusion. It's an ongoing creation of something greater. Whereas if you're going to purpose, it's really just this dead-end road where you're waiting for something to show up, but you're never in the choosing mode, you're in the waiting mode.
Yeah.
And, you know, how good waiters are we? Not really, huh?
Yeah. And what's coming up for me right now is the kindness, the energy of kindness that's there, mm-hmm, when you allow you to be your priority.
Yeah.
That lightens things up a lot, Ricky.
Yeah.
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 And I get a lot of people when I'm facilitating who will say, well, you know, how do I stop judging myself? And I say, well, what if it's not a cognitive thing? What if you can, so I give them a question. And the question that I use often is, what energy, space, and consciousness can I be that would allow me to be the energy of kindness for me right now? And it literally shifts the energy instantaneous, rather than having to be in this space of like, well, how do I stop judging me and make it a cognitive thing? What if it's simply a question that you can ask that can shift the energy every single time and remind you that kindness is who you truly be, not judgment?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I just looked at the clock and, wow, it's about time for our show to end. And I would like to end actually with a question, with a process, okay? So, what physical actualization of happiness as your priority are you now capable of generating, creating, and instituting? And everything doesn't allow that to show up. Time's a godzillion. We destroy and uncreate it all.
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. So, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank Susanna. I want to thank Tamara. I want to thank all the contributors here today. And I want to invite you back next week for the show, Value of Controversy. You can follow us on Facebook, The Value of Controversy. And please email, yes.
Yeah.
Email address?
Is it radio@valueofcontroversy.com?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And please, if you have questions or comments, or if anything came up for you that you'd like to share with us, please share it with us. And I thank you all again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Value of Controversy. What questions did we create for you today? Write in and tell us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about us, please visit our website at thevalueofcontroversy.com. Until our next show, be controversial and have a great week.